spreading their message to millions. Spreading their message to millions. Kiss Talk. Talking Kiss. Kiss fans and Kiss podcast. With your host, Mike from Nashville. Tuck Watts. And special guest, it could even be you. Now here they are, your Kiss Talk crew. We are back with Kiss Talk, and all of us are happy to be here, loving life and loving Kiss. Tuck, welcome
back. Two episodes in a row, man.
That's right.
We've actually done two episodes now in a short period of time, so we're rolling again.
We are. So basically, the last episode, as we came back to life, was all about the tour itself. Which we definitely agree, as I think everybody does, is fantastic. We dove into what Paul's up to. And man, we just got to keep this rolling because there's.
We talked about Ace. We talked about all the things Ace is doing.
We did. Yep, you're right. So just tons of stuff to talk about, and Tuck and I are dying to get it out there because Tuck and I have not had the chance to talk about some of the stuff that's been out on the other shows already, but. I know everybody loves to talk about Kiss all the time, so thank you for listening to us. We certainly appreciate it.
Absolutely.
We love being part of the Kiss podcast community, and I didn't do this on the last episode, and I want to say it now because it's going to segue into our first topic. If you have the ability to come to Nashville, Tennessee, August 9th and 10th, Chris Sinzak from the Decibel Geek podcast, one of the greatest variety podcasts in rock and roll, is bringing us all together again for the Nashville Rockin' Pod 2019. And if you aren't aware of that, you got to go check it out. And we would love for you to be in Nashville because there's a ton of guests on that list that will appeal to many types of rock.
Michael Sweet,
friend of our sister podcast, Classic Rock Drops. We did an interview with Michael.
Guys from Kix.
Kix, yep.
Exodus, Wildside. You may remember Wildside. Some guys from that band. Tora coming back.
Every Mother's Nightmare. Yeah, man.
Roxy Blue, I believe.
All kinds of good stuff.
And I'll be seeing Roxy Blue in just a few weeks. They're playing a show with Warrant. Here locally. So.
Yeah, I saw that. And Warrant just added to the Kiss Cruise. I'm excited about that. So I wanted to throw that out there as you mentioned Warrant. So, but who knows? I might get down there for that show, but we'll see.
And Rockin' Pod, listen, I didn't know anything about podcasting prior to the first Rockin' Pod. And those two events, Rockin' Pod 1, which was what now, 2017, Rockin' Pod 2 last year in 2018, and now they're on the third. Chris is doing the third installment of that. And it's just an amazing event. I've been to a lot of events that feature musicians and celebrities of all sorts. This is nothing like any of them.
I agree. I mean, it's... I love this event. And Tuck and I both will be there, both representing our Kiss Talk podcast right here and our sister podcast, Classic Rock Drops, which does all new music by classic rock artists. So if you want something outside of the Kiss genre, that podcast sits there. But yeah, the Rockin' Pod in Nashville. I did give the right date, didn't I? Yeah.
I think so. But while you look that up, if you want to look that up real quick, let me just say, you know, you go to these things and, you know, you pay $40 to get in and then you got to pay $20 to stand in line to meet your favorite, whatever, movie star or musician. And then you got to, you know, or $50 to get their autograph or or whatever it is. That's the way these things are. And then you get like 2 seconds with them in front of the line. They sign your picture and you know, you're done. This is nothing like that at all. This is so fan friendly. The artists are walking around the room and hanging out with fans, and you can walk up to them and talk to them. And in a lot of cases, I've never had anyone say, no, I won't sign that, or you owe me $30 for me to sign, you know, that record cover or whatever. It's never anything like that. You pay your money to get in the door, and you get to take advantage of all the things that are offered there. You know, last year we interviewed Angel on stage in front of everybody. The fans got to sit there and hear that and interact with us as we were doing that. Other guys did that. Keel was interviewed on stage. I mean, there's so many different things that go on. You know, Michael Wagner has been there in the past, Toby Wright, the famous producers. It's just a neat time to hang out and associate with these people, and they're not acting all airy and celebrity, you know, famous. They're just acting like down to earth people like they are. And it's a really cool event.
It is. And yes, it's August 9th and 10th. And it's just very close to the Nashville airport. Chris has done a fantastic job in getting us a Class A type venue this year. You know, this event has worked its way up to the most professional type of venue that you can have for something like this. And you're going to love it. Friday, August 9th is the pre-party, and it will be the Rock and Roll Residency. And if you don't know who that is, that's obviously Gene Simmons and Ace Frehley's band. It's a Jeremy, Phil, Ryan, and I'm assuming Matt Starr will be the drummer in that. I don't know that. But they're going to get up. They're going to play. They're going to play their covers like they always do. Michael Sweet, as I understand it, has agreed to play a couple of songs with them. And these guys, I mean, you got to realize how connected these guys are in Nashville. They know everybody. So I'm certainly not saying you never know who's going to show up to promote it, but you never know who's going to show up with these guys. So you got to come to the pre-party if at all possible and check out the Rock and Roll Residency, which, I mean, aren't they also kind of the Talisman? I mean, they've kind of called themselves that. They'll be there Saturday, and you'll get to meet them. And if you haven't done that, I mean, these are down-to-earth normal guys that are Kiss fans.
And what, one of the guys was in, like, the band Hair of the Dog, I think, at one point.
Yep.
They're just amazing musicians. This is the Gene Simmons band and Ace Frehley's band.
Yep. So, I think Tuck covered most of the guests there. I don't know if you mentioned Jason Buehler with Saigon Kick. I'm a huge Saigon Kick fan. Looks like most of these you mentioned.
The guy from Danzig that was there last year. Eerie. Yeah.
Yeah. Jeremy Barber from Green Jello. Didn't mention that one. Stephen Todd Barnett from Pump 5. Drew Forte, why can I not ever say his name right, is in for Mars. Just go check out the website. You'll see the guest and the podcasts that are going to be there. Decibel Geek, of course, that's Chris Sinzak's and Aaron Camaro's podcast, which you should be listening to just to get your total handle on all things rock and roll. Cobras and Fire will be there. Ages of Rock podcast, our buddies from Indiana, Digital Killed the Radio Star podcast, Kiss FAQ, Julian Gill. I'm sure he will have some of his books present, as he always does, and you should own all of them. The Plug with Bushy and Mountain Man, which I believe is a podcast out of New Jersey. This is something new. They haven't been there before. And I think they have a wrestling tie. You can investigate that on yourself if you're an old wrestling fan. One of the guys in that podcast, you can check that out. I'll let you investigate that if you have interest in that. The I Love It Loud guest will be there.
And they were there last year, the first time, I believe.
That's correct. Yeah, they actually, when they came to the podcast, they were the first Rockin' Pod. I think they realized that they wanted to do a podcast, and it was great to actually see that podcast come to fruition, and they were actually at the event last year. So much like us, I mean, we basically debuted at the very first Rockin' Pod because we were a month old at the point that event happened. So still some guests to be announced for Saturday, and also there's going to, I think, with in conjunction with Chris's upcoming announcement for the next guest, we'll also, it'll be the after party, so to speak. So, because there'll be somebody playing Saturday night as well. So, there is our 10-minute spill on the Nashville Rockin' Pod that you should
Joshua Toomey will be there. We always end up beside him.
Yeah, it's true. Right.
And he's got a great podcast if you never listen to that. So,
yeah. So, kind of diving into this podcast and how it relates to that, outside of the fact that the Rock and Roll Residency is actually doing the pre-party and they're KISS related, we're going to jump into the Vinnie Vincent topic. And
he tried to hook his wagon to Rockin' Pod a little bit, didn't he?
He did. And as Tuck knows, I've kind of pre-warned Tuck that I take a different stance on the whole Vinnie thing. I take a different position. I've tried to ride the line. I've tried to be straightforward in any conversation that I've had with Vinnie, and be very supportive, even though, I mean, to all those people that love to complain, he has certainly given them plenty of fuel to do that with, and I totally get everyone's opinion. And do not restrict what Tuck says. Tuck can say anything he wants to. So, because Tuck has a very different opinion, I think, than, because I sit on the fence and say, look, my position is on any former KISS member, because I am a fan of KISS, that whatever you want to do, I support that. If Mark St. John wanted to go out and do a coffin tour, I would probably go see it. Okay? Just because, from a KISStry standpoint, I support the fact that he had a contribution to KISS, and certainly a minimal contribution. Vinny had a very impactful contribution to KISS, and I'm supportive of what he gave to KISS during the time he gave it. Because, I mean, any of us know the history there. He made an impact. He made an impact for them on, we can go back to Creatures to Lick It Up, obviously, and then even look forward beyond that to Revenge and his co-writing for that. Without him there, there's a different outcome. So I appreciate his contribution. So if he's going to go out and try to do something, then I want to support that the best way possible. It's been unpleasant. I get it. It's not been easy, but that doesn't mean I'm still not trying. Because whatever he does, whenever he does it, is a historical moment that continues his part of KISStry. Because, I mean, once you're in KISS, we all know you're in the family. Some people would say Vinny's the black sheep of the family, and that's fine. You can say whatever you want. I get it, but I'm still a fan of whoever the worst member of KISS would be. I mean, I'm still supportive because the contribution to the greatest band in my life anyway.
The thing that I think separates Vinny from a lot of the things that I hear you saying, to me anyway,
sure,
is the fact that I support Vinny. Like, I can listen to Lick It Up and appreciate Vinnie Vincent's contributions, you know, immensely. I can listen to the Vinnie Vincent stuff and appreciate, you know, Vinnie Vincent as a musician or an artist or whatever. But there are so many things that have happened And this is where you separate the guy from the music, I guess. It's just in his personal life in the last 25 years, where you realize the guy's a creep. He's not a decent man, in my opinion. He's a shyster, a ripoff artist, and I think Gene's right. You know, when you hand him the keys to the kingdom, he'll be hanging himself. He's proven that time and time and time again. And so, while I love Lick It Up, I love Creatures of the Night, I love Revenge, I love, you know, the Vinnie Vincent Invasion records, and all that. It's beyond time for him to put up or shut up for me.
There you go. You have two different directions. And I think that represents what's out there. I think what Tuck just said probably is more for the masses. Would you not agree, Tuck, that most people believe the way that you believe? Yeah.
And let's also point out, when I was around him, whatever limited time I've been around him, in Atlanta a couple of years back, and at the Gene Simmons Vault experience in Nashville, a year ago? A little over a year ago now?
Yep.
I was super pleasant when we had any interactions with Vinny. I wasn't spiteful or disrespectful or any of that stuff to him, because I didn't think he deserved it at that point. But I think after canceling four different shows, I just don't know how Kiss fans can ever take him seriously. It's almost like if I were his, if he called me right now and said, what do I need to do? I would say, you need to have a free show. You need to start showing up and just ripping, if you can. Or you need to do something where it just appears that you're not doing this for money. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Show up to some Kiss thing and say, you know what? I get the impression that I've left on people is that I'm in this, you know, just to rip you guys off. But here's what I'm going to do. You know, everybody's getting a signed picture today, you know, whatever. He could do it to where, you know, let's say he worked something out and he was at Rockin' Pod. He's not going to be. But if he did, you know, and he shows up, look, I've paid for all the 8x10s or I've, you know, got some sponsor that's going to give the 8x10s out or whatever. The first 500 people get an autographed picture or whatever. Something like that would go a long way to changing his reputation. He has got to undergo a complete reputation overhaul, in my opinion, at this point.
Don't disagree that all those things would help his image.
Yeah, he's just burned too many bridges, I believe. And I don't know, well, you know.
I mean, with the group of fans that you're representing in this conversation, absolutely. I mean, there's no doubt that it would erase some of what has been done. I mean, I too agree with you that I would love to see a positive movement like that, because I would love to see all those people that showed up in Atlanta when his first comeback, right?
Right.
Those people in that room loved Vinnie Vincent.
Yeah, they were in his corner. They were ready to support him.
And he could have done, if he had done anything more, there probably would be a different outcome. But when I say Kiss has 60,000 fans and I say Vinnie has 500 or whatever that number is.
How many did he sell for his birthday bash? 3?
Well, the birthday bash is a different thing. So the Nashville event, nobody really knows, but someone estimated there was 8.
Okay, so it started out, these were shows that were going to take place at Graceland in December. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah. And
then he canceled those. There were 2 shows. Mm-hmm. I think it was like a Friday and a Saturday or something.
Yeah, that's
true. He canceled those, moved those to Nashville, which were February?
Correct.
Or January?
It was February.
And then he canceled those, moved them back till middle of March, right?
Yeah, but at that point, didn't it become the studio event with only 60 people?
See, I think there were 2 things in Nashville that were canceled.
Okay, you may be right. Yeah,
I think there was the 2 canceled, and then it became the studio thing, and then that got canceled as well.
Okay.
So
and now. You spoke of the birthday bash.
Right.
Which is on. It is the same day as the National Rockin' Pod event. It is practically in the same venue.
Right.
And it's by invitation only. But you still have to pay $300. So.
And that's not. Look, we know Vinny's track record. There's no way that event goes off.
Okay. I say
there's
this,
no.
I'll say that this event does happen.
I see. I just don't think. Well, if it happens, I don't know that. Look, you're going to have, 35 podcasts ripping you.
Well, the event as it is created is not a public event. No one's ripping it because it's not out there. Nobody can check the ticket sales like they could supposedly on the other.
Well, no, I'm saying they're going to be ripping Vinny. I mean, because the whole just that, the atmosphere, there's everybody sort of. Chris is a very likable guy.
Oh, and let me back up and say that I don't deny anything. I mean, trust me, Chris Sinzak, very good friend of mine. I don't deny that any of that stuff happened, that Chris was, I get it. I mean, we were kind of close to that a little bit.
Right.
We were there when Chris had the initial discussion.
I took pictures of it.
At the Gene Simmons vault. So, this is nothing against Chris Sinzak from my point of view. I'm totally supportive of that. And I get that when supposedly the Vinnie Vincent camp reached out to Chris about tying these 2 events together at the same venue, and Chris said no thanks. I understand that, because I mean, Vinny didn't do anything to help Chris in that scenario that he did. So, and it all it did was make Vinny look bad, and
that's what I'm saying. In that venue, if Vinny's going to be in the same vicinity as it's almost like Trump having a campaign event at a Democratic headquarters.
Yeah,
right. It's just or Obama having one at a Republican headquarters or whatever way you lean politically. It doesn't matter. The analogy stays the same. It's just going to be very difficult, in my opinion, for those events to happen concurrently.
Well, if this event is being handled as I am aware that it is happening, then it will be for a minimal audience. But I also look at it like you got to start somewhere, and something's got to happen to relaunch this. And if it doesn't happen, Vinny has basically accepted or stated anyway that, look, if this doesn't work, I am totally happy doing what I'm doing privately and on my own. And, then there's no really relaunch of Vinny Vincent in the KISS public eye. So I don't know if you read that letter that got posted.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, that's what it says. So they've tied it to, obviously, his birthday. It's still a Nashville event, although a private event to a certain extent. I hope something great comes out of it. I hope that some of the people that have given up on Vinny come back around after this event as a result of something great happening from this event. And I hope things get back on the right direction. If they don't, then I guess Vinny's gone again.
Yeah. I think the frustrating thing is that we were both there in Atlanta and saw the reception. If he would have played his cards right, he could have been, he could have turned this into something really, really positive. And the only reason it got really bad and really negative is the way he's handled everything that's happened since.
You know, no argument with that. I mean, there's been a ton of conversation about, you know, if he just played or if he just shredded, you know, for 30 seconds, if he had done this, then all these things would have been different, and that he's been given every opportunity. And I don't deny that. But it's been unfortunate. Nothing seems to have worked out in a good way. And there's one more chance for that to happen. And then he says he's done. So I hope that it does happen for him. I hope that, you know, all these things that have happened turn into something positive. And they can. It is possible. It's not going to be a big, huge selling event. It's not being advertised to be one. But, you know, I hope it turns out good. So we'll see.
Well, yeah, I hope the best for Vinny. I'm not going to hold my breath on that.
Well, we'll see.
At least we know who was one of the persons that bought one of the tickets, I guess.
No, you don't. Not yet. But you and I will talk about that later. So
let me say, look, I am willing to give Vinny, you know, a chance, but he's got to start handling things the right way and stop handing on like, you know, a kid in middle school. You know, he's just so wishy-washy. And so, I don't know. I wish success for the guy, but man, he's just not done anything to build up my confidence in anything he's doing right now. So,
well, I think if it makes it to August 10th, we'll know what the future holds. And I think that will really be either the last or the first, if that makes sense. It'll be the last we hear of him if it doesn't work, but it'll be the first of many more if it does. So we'll see. And no, I'm not stupid enough to say Vinny's going to go out and sell a bajillion tickets. That was never going to happen. Okay. That was just never going to happen.
No, anyway. He was never going to do the things that Kiss, you know, are doing currently.
I mean, he lost the case on trying to trademark the Vinnie Vincent's Kiss thing.
Right.
So whatever he was planning for that, which I don't know that he needed to do that. He just needs to be Vinnie Vincent. He needs to go out, do his thing.
He could easily be, and I'm not saying on a cultural impact, but he could easily be doing what Ace does, playing 500-seat clubs, selling them out most of the nights.
Yep.
Playing on weekends. He's not playing, you know, 300 nights a year, but he could play 50 shows a year or 50, you know,
maybe
40 shows a year or something and do rather well for himself.
Yeah. He definitely could be doing some type of events that made him a good living, He could sell a good bit of merchandise at reasonable prices.
It could be a comfortable pace for him. It doesn't have to be every night. It could be, during the summer you plan weekend shows. Yep. And, shows from all intents and purposes, he's based in Nashville. He could be playing, within a day's drive of Nashville. You got Louisville, you got Atlanta, you got Birmingham, you got Memphis. I mean, there's a half dozen to maybe two dozen cities within a day's drive there that you could make a good living just playing those cities.
You could, yeah. And there, I think he would get invited to other events too if there was something predictable. So, but anyway, I think that's where both of us stand on Vinny, and we'll see what happens. We got a future event to target that's less than 2 months out, and not that it's associated with the National Rockin' Pod by any means. If you took that from that, that is not what I'm saying. Simply saying it's on the same day, in the same city. So
now Vinny said he got the cold shoulder at the Gene Simmons event.
He did. That's what he
said. Did you feel that way? Did you feel like Gene was the one that was?
No.
I didn't feel that way either.
I will agree, assuming this is what you're saying, that the awkwardness came from Vinny, not Gene. It was Gene's event. Gene led as much as he wanted to lead and gave the stage to Vinny to do what he wanted to do as an opportunity. And I feel like that was really Gene's intent. Because Gene was going to go do what Gene needed to do. But on Mitch LaFon's interview, Vinny said that driving to the event, he asked himself, why was he even doing this? Wound up getting there late, stopped on the way, thought about turning around and going back home. All those things. And, in listening to Mitch's interview about that specific piece of that interview, there was a whole lot in that interview, which...
It's a very good interview, by the way.
Yeah, it really is.
I think the two great Vinny interviews is the Decibel Geek interview they did, and then that Mitch LaFon interview. Those are two really good. If you want to know anything about Vinny, listen to those two interviews.
Right. I would agree. Can't be missed, either one of them. But I guess I was surprised, and maybe I shouldn't be, to hear that that's the way Vinny felt in coming to that event. But Vinny had an opportunity there. Vinny had a lot of fans. I mean, everybody at that vault, I mean, he sold a good bit of merchandise, signed a ton of stuff. Was very friendly. Yeah, I mean, Vinny's been friendly at every event I've attended. I mean, he and I, the last time I was at an event with him in Miami, he was very friendly. We discussed the geographical area in which both of us live in. Often what is happening in the moment does not reflect some of the descriptions of what other people say, if that makes sense. I'm not saying any of that stuff doesn't happen. I'm just simply saying it hasn't happened to me. But I haven't had to deal in dollars with Vinny either. And I understand when it comes to business, that's kind of where it gets unpleasant. But anyway, so, I mean, that's kind of where we are with Vinny. I'm hopeful for August 10th for him. And, again, history will show itself if we make it that far. So, and I think this event will happen because it was set up to happen with low numbers, and the expectation is there in that way, right? There's no set. I've got to have 60 people at this amount to make this work financially. It's not set up that way. So we'll see. You got anything else?
No. Okay. I guess. I mean, I think we've already given the guy plenty of time. So
25 minutes to be exact. So, all right. So if you're tired of talking about Vinny, let's talk about something fun. And I want to point to Andrew Scambati's next video release, Kiss at Midnight, coming out here in just a few days. Had the pleasure of getting to see it already. And again, he's knocked it out of the park. You know, I almost look at it like if there was a video soundtrack to Kiss Alive 2, right? Maybe not.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a... I'm struggling to find words to put to my feelings here on this. It's one of those things where, man, I just love the internet because of stuff like this. Yeah. You know, it's a great time to be a Kiss fan.
Yeah. So, but, and I said, Kiss Alive 2 for whatever reason, but it's I should have said more along the lines of Kiss Alive, but everybody's gonna love it, right? I mean, his first one was amazing. If you haven't seen it, I think it's still over on is it Vimeo or Vimeo? Which one do you actually say?
I've always said Vimeo.
Okay. So, yeah, you got to check that one out, certainly. But the new one's going to be amazing. You're going to love it. And I'm looking forward to what he does next. Because, I mean, with the love that he has for this band, that's why he does this. And he'll tell you that. He's been on multiple podcasts, so you can listen to his details about it and how he goes about all this. But, yeah, you're going to love it. So I think that comes out, is it the 26th or 28th?
I'm not sure. So,
but yeah, coming up soon. And we will certainly post it in on our Facebook page, as well as every other page will have it out there too.
So yeah, if you're a fan, you won't be able to get away from it.
Yeah. So that's some happy stuff. Yeah, well, it's something else that was really good was Podcast Rock City did an interview. They got to interview Tommy and Bruce simultaneously at the Indie Expo. And that's kind of a rarity, right? Yeah. Tommy rarely sits down. That's to me, if you could ask me, okay, we have the ability to put you with any Kiss member for a 20-minute interview right now, that would be Tommy for me. And that's because Gene and Paul are always very predictable. They say the same things over and over, regardless of the question asked. Eric's just like, I don't know, it's like me and Tuck. He's just a guy that will sit and talk to you about anything or whatever. Tommy, to me, is the mystery man of Kiss. He probably holds more secrets than anybody in the organization. I credit him for there still being a Kiss. He made the reunion tour possible by getting Ace and Peter prepared. There's so much that man has done for this band that
the Kissology videos
that is unknown. I mean, that, and to me, that's the mystery of this. I mean, his personal life is pretty much kept a mystery. Obviously, he has a love for military history with his father being in the position he was in. He's very generous with his time as far as raising money and doing events. And just
does a lot up there in the Pacific Northwest where he's from.
Yep.
A lot of military charities and the like.
And if you follow him on Twitter, you will see that on the off days, as he goes through Europe, I mean, you know, he goes out to historical military event sites.
Right. He just posted in the last day or so that he had been able to visit the beaches there at Normandy.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. And what was great, what I thought was amazing is he had a book with him, right? And he shows a picture of that, of the, from Normandy, the soldiers, and then he's showing where he's standing. So that there's a relation between the two. There's an appreciation. Because it's one thing to stand there, where that gun was mounted, if you've seen the picture, and say, "Hey, I'm visiting the Normandy site," versus, "Look, here's the reference. Understand the historical value of this." And it's, you know, Doc McGee's with him in that picture, but it's just one of the things that I like about Tommy on the personal side. He seems very genuine. I've had the opportunity, I think it was the second Kiss cruise. He was in the same hotel I was, and he sat down at the bar with me, and my wife and I were sitting there eating a pizza. It was about 11:30 at night. We were just trying to get some food because we'd gotten in late the day before the cruise ship took off. And he just sat down there and he talked to us. And I mean, you know, it was just normal conversation. And I know I kind of said the same thing about Eric, but Tommy's still very mystical. He has a unbelievable memory. I know that I mentioned to him in the elevator. Another time I was with him down in Miami, I said, you know, the first time I met you, it was in an elevator in Atlanta. And he goes, "Oh, that must have been 1986 when we opened for Kiss in the Atlanta Omni." And he knew the date.
Right.
And I was like, because it was December 30th or something like that. It was towards the end of the year. And I was like, how do you remember something as specific as that date? And he goes, "I don't know. It's what I do." So I was just stunned because I threw out a random event and he pinpointed the date, the tour, and the time. Right. I mean, and it wasn't about that he remembered me. He didn't remember me. He just remembered, yeah, that had to be
the event. Right.
Yeah. So I don't know. To me, that tells me this is a very intelligent guy that also has a whole lot in his head. And given his role in his roles, is what I should say, in Kiss, man, it's what an interview. You could take a 2-hour interview with this guy and it'd be minutia that none of us is even aware of. Right. I mean, there would obviously be those moments where he revisited, yeah, I had to work with Peter and Ace to get the reunion tour going. Here are those times, you know, Ace didn't show up that time. I had to put on the makeup and my uniform because they had a costume ready for Tommy for the reunion tour in case that ever happened. And the one time, you know, Ace didn't show up till 20 minutes before showtime and Tommy was already dressed and ready to go.
Right. And his first show was the one there in the Caribbean, right?
Yes. Yep. You're right. Where he had to go down and play for that one. But his first as a member was at the symphony show, wasn't it?
Right. Yeah, that's right.
But that
was planned. The one in the Caribbean was not.
Right. Cause they decided, I guess he wasn't going or whatever. But, yeah. So back to that's a great interview that Sonny and Joe got to do at the Indie Expo, and that's on the Podcast Rock City podcast. You can go back and visit it. Because what's also unique about it, Tommy always, I think he has a method to the way he answers questions so he doesn't give too much information. And I think Gene and Paul trust him with everything. But you got Bruce, right? Bruce, again, kind of reminds me of Eric. He's the everyday average guy, like Tuck and I, that just says whatever, right? And it's funny how they would ask a question and Tommy would give his Tommy answer. But then Bruce would be like, yeah, but remember, I was, you know, because Tommy was working for the band or involved with the band, and toured with Black and Blue during Bruce's years.
Right.
So, I mean, again, Tommy probably has Bruce stories that he could share that Bruce would go like, oh, you didn't have to say that. But but yeah, it was funny because Bruce kind of acts like, well, I'm a huge fan of my era of Kiss, which he says that all the time. So it was almost like when Tommy would say something about that era, Bruce always wondered, yeah, but this, you know? So right. it's so interesting. But well, again, I would love to talk to Tommy. I mean, man.
It would be like if Gene would ever drop his guard long enough, I think Tommy would be what that would be like. You know, because Gene, you know, if you remember, you know, at the vault, you know, he's rattling off some very obscure, or relatively obscure to me anyway, tidbits and trivia and, you know, things about old commercials, songs from, you know, what was that Choo Choo Charlie song he started talking about? And then he started talking about, you know, old, I don't remember what the duos that he was talking about, Flo and Eddie and those people.
Right.
You know, I mean, he's a pretty sharp guy too, as well. So I would imagine if he would ever drop his celebrity facade, if you will, that would be Tommy. Yeah. A lot like what Tommy really is like.
Yep. And, of course, I'm back on the Kiss Cruise this year, and I have made the effort before to contact the powers that be to see if I could get 20 minutes with Tommy, and I have gotten no response to that in the past. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to try again, because the way I look at it is they have time, although they do stay fairly busy on the cruise. Tommy, in my opinion, has more time than Paul and Gene, because Paul and Gene sell a ton of stuff outside of the Kiss Cruise, be it guitars, right, and experiences and all that.
And speaking of, there's still some vault things coming up, right? I mean, Gene's still doing a little bit of that here and there.
Yeah, you can still buy a vault, certainly. And he is doing that on the cruise. I know that. You know, we did a show back in January with Keith Valcourt, and it was kind of funny. I was watching a Seinfeld episode the other day and saw Keith on there. It's kind of like, wow, now I know who that guy is. But anyway, so originally they were going to try to do these vault events after some of the shows, and I think they figured out that Gene was just too tired and too busy with Kiss events during the show, after the show, that didn't work out. So they did them differently, like on days off, I think. I have heard nothing about anyone that has attended any of those. Have you seen any post or anything about that?
No.
I neither. So if you, I was actually going to jump over here and see. So it's still like you can buy the vault without the Gene Simmons experience for $1,500. You can do various Gene Simmons vent vaults, experiences. He's got them lined up for the rest of the year, and it looks like. Yeah, at most every show on the next leg of the tour in the U.S., you can do a vault experience. So I don't know how they're doing those now. And then, of course, they're doing it on the Kiss Cruise. So I don't know. I would love to talk to somebody that has done one of those recent events, even if you're on one of the European shows, because obviously he's doing those on the European dates based on the Gene Simmons vault.com.
Maybe we can reach out to Keith and see if he can maybe give us an update.
Yeah. So it looks like people are paying for the experience. I haven't seen much of it in Europe, but in the States, a lot of people are paying for those $7,500, $5,000 experiences where you go, you know, backstage and you get to touch, feel, take pictures. Keith gives you the full tour, all that kind of stuff. And those have been great. Keith has been great about doing Facebook Live events, and you can go back and revisit those on the KISS Facebook page if you haven't. It gives you an insight. I kind of looked at it. A friend of the show, Jim Irvin, here in the Nashville area, he's got several things going on. You can check out his Facebook page. He did it, and he kind of looked at it as, I'm going to do one show, and I'm going to make it my true end-of-the-road experience. He chose not to go see any shows prior to the Nashville show, and he made it a very special event for himself, kind of a life event experience, and that's an interesting concept. I mean, by the time I get done buying all the tickets to all the shows I'm going to, I could have done probably the same thing. But I have to admit, seeing it on Facebook Live is satisfactory to me, because it's kind of like, well, I'm getting to see a lot of the things that those people got to see. No, I didn't get to hold the guitars and stand behind the drums and stand next to Sam the Serpent. But it's been enjoyable. I mean, have you watched a bunch of those too, Tuck?
I've watched some of them, yeah, as time would allow me. You know, some of those are really cool, and yeah, very envious of the people that get to do those things. So,
yeah, it's cool stuff. Well, we're getting close again to our what I like to think is our Kiss Talk Hour. And we spent a lot of time talking about the Rockin' Pod and Vinny. So I hope that everybody's satisfied with this episode. But
another thing we've not talked about, and maybe we can talk about this later, you know, Paul was on the big interview, right, with Dan Rather.
That's true. And we should talk about that on the next show. So yeah. I don't have that down as a topic, but we definitely need to.
Yeah, that's a big one. The Return of the Comet guys have been playing shows. That's an interesting development in the world of KISS with Todd Howarth and Richie Scarlett and John Reagan playing some shows together.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's still a ton of stuff to talk about that has kind of occurred or been announced while we were gone over a little sabbatical there, if you want to call it that or whatever. So we got a ton of stuff to talk about, but we also want to talk about stuff that you guys want to talk about. So if you want to be on the show, if you want to talk about a topic with us, we are available. Hit us up on the Facebook page or kisstalkpodcast@gmail.com. And we would love to have anybody that wants to be a part of the podcast be on with us, because this podcast is about the fans, the band, and the podcast that are already out there, because I need an outlet to talk about all this stuff.
Right. And we're not the experts. I mean, we're fans just like clearly everybody else, you know, that maybe listening to this. We don't put ourselves on a pedestal above you guys or any of that stuff. And there are podcasts that do that, right? There are podcasts where they sort of talk down to their listeners. You know, no, we are, you're as big of an expert on this as we are. And you have your opinion. If you've got an opinion and you want to call in and you want to talk to us for an hour, we'd love to have you.
Absolutely. All you got to do is hit us up and we'll get it scheduled so that you can be on with us. But yeah, absolutely. I do not claim, I know a lot about KISS, but there are so many people that know more. My memory is horrible. I work too much and sleep not enough. So my memory fails me. And that's why I always have to say, did I say the right dates on the Rockin' Pod, or did I say the right dates when Andrew Scimbatti's video's coming out? Yeah, I screw that stuff up, but that's just because my mind is full, but I have to empty out my KISS thoughts on this podcast. So that's what I'm here to do. So I want to thank everybody for listening. Thank you for coming back after our absence. We sincerely appreciate it. Hit us up on the Facebook page. Let us know what we're doing wrong, right, or what you want to do with us. We don't care. This podcast is for us, for you. So we appreciate it, man. Tuck, I thank you as always for being a part of this.
Thanks for having me, man.
All right. We'll be in touch next time, folks. Thanks. Kiss Talk is an Into Rock podcast production.